Welcome, listeners, to this episode of the WIP 12 podcast. I'm your host, Kyle. And today we're going to do a deep dive into Corregidor Jurisdictional Command with Gabe, a.k.a. Zorlax. Gabe, thank you for joining me.
Hey, thanks for having me, Kyle.
Yeah, of course. So just to get us started, will you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and who you are and where you're at in the world?
Yeah, my name's Gabe. I'm from the Santa Cruz Bay Area. Lifelong Wargamer, second generation. Nice. And that's me. I got into Infinity kind of refugee from 40K.
Fair.
And yeah, just really liked the level of like competitive list building available for it. Like the space for it was a lot bigger than coming from 40K. And I really liked that.
Yeah. So I may be one of the only Infinity players who didn't play 40K before.
Yeah.
So my understanding is that you essentially chased the meta by finding the best net list, and that was the most efficient way to be effective in a tournament. Is that kind of the gist?
Yeah, well, it's timed a lot with like the new releases, right? So the whatever the new product that they're pushing out is, it's always going to be the best.
I heard there were some dwarves that recently sort of broke the whole thing.
I don't follow it anymore. I did see something about that, and then I saw the memes, you know.
Got it. Cool.
But yeah, I don't follow it anymore. Infinity's where I'm at right now. I grew up playing Magic, RPGs, all that stuff.
Cool. Any particular games stand out that you have played or used to play or still play?
I mean, I'm still playing 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons right now cool. with kids that I grew up with playing, you know, figuring out how to play it on sleepovers and stuff. So that system is still where I think, you know, that's the best entry for a lot of people.
Cool. And did you start D&D with 5th or?
No, I started back in 3rd edition in the Dark Ages.
Yeah, yeah. I have a memory of, you know, there was like older brother of a friend who had a red box, and I am totally not of the generation who grew up with the red box, but that guy kind of made us play it with him when I was like 6 or 7 years old, and I had no idea what was going on and rolling funny shaped dice. And then 3rd edition was where, we got all our, you know, those first experiences of like, oh, well, you got like 3 18s on your attributes, so I guess I got 3 18s on mine too, right? I don't know.
Yeah. I still remember like inheriting secondhand a bunch of them from my older brother, and like having a tote box full of supplements for 3.5 or something like that. It was just ridiculous the way that they kind of pumped stuff out. But it was a lot of fun too.
Definitely.
Yeah, good memories.
Cool. All right. So as far as Infinity is concerned, you talked a little bit about what you like about it, the competitive side of it. Anything else strike you as?
Yeah, I mean, I like the factions. I love the minis. They're great. I need to spend more time painting. Especially just seeing like how great people are doing with their work. I like it. I like all of the people that I've met playing this game have just been phenomenal people. It's been a really wonderful experience, like all the way around. I can't say enough good things about this game. And especially coming from other like gaming environments, I just think that this is just the most welcoming, like competitive but fun game that's been available to us in a long time. So I'm really enjoying that.
Cool. I love it. And I know you play Corregidor. Are you playing anything else?
Yeah, I'm also playing Vanilla Nomads, and I want to play Tunguska. I have all the minis for it. I just am so wrapped up between Corridor and Vanilla right now. I also play a little bit of Ariadna and TAK. That's what I play. I spend so much time thinking about other factions that there's so many on my to-do list as well.
Yeah, it is such a fascinating thing where the hobbies for Infinity are playing the game, assembling and painting, and then also like theory crafting and list building and anticipating what opponents are going to do. It's such a cool dynamic.
Yeah, totally. And the way that the extreme amount of variations on tables just provides so many opportunities for different things to work. That like there's no right way to play this game, and there's no ultra meta netlist that you can just win all your games with in this, which is another just great thing to say about the system.
Definitely. Cool. All right. Well, anything else you want to bring up before we dive into Corregidor?
No, I mean, I could totally go to the Corregidor like backstory stuff that I like, if this is a good time for it.
Yeah, let's bring it up.
Yeah. Corregidor is by far my favorite faction from a perspective. I love the radical labor unionist, like crossed with like the like ultra proletarianized criminal elements. Like it's it's really cool. I love that they're like the beating heart of the whole nomad nation. They're the guys that like keep it going. They're very working class. I just really love that. The fluff for the intruder like sold me on the faction. The Morgata fluff too, the way that they like, you know, they're like just they're radical labor organizers and stuff. I really enjoy that. It's something I've never seen represented in a game like this.
So I know I've poured over the fluff a lot, but just in case some listeners haven't, tell us a little more. What's so interesting about the intruder in particular?
The intruder is awesome. He's a he's like a covert operative that will infiltrate like different small ships or labor organizations, and like if he finds labor violations or like you're abusing your workers or your employees, violently defend them, and like he'll murder the strike breaking boss or whatever. Like he's just like the ultimate like proletarian warrior, and I just love that he's just like just could be any union guy could be one of these, and like you never know.
I love the fluff, and I love the models that they've got, especially the last couple rounds. And the old sniper from, I guess, maybe late N2, early N3, where he's kind of standing holding the sniper up with the pistol just kind of casually sitting on his thigh.
Yeah, and I love that. That right. Penny is phenomenal.
And there's always been this disconnect for me still with the model and the description of the fluff. I really want the intruder to be like a dude in, like a work jumpsuit with a hard hat, who's like got a bag that he's pulling his MSV out of and like packing his rifle out of, instead of the like super high tech combat armor.
Yeah. I think, like while the mini is incredibly awesome, it doesn't, the Nomad suffers a bit from things not kind of matching up with like how they're written about.
The fact that Mobile Regatta all have the same armor instead of like a hodgepodge of pieces.
Oh yeah. Yeah, the like tiny female mobile goddess just being like, yeah, their power armor is just way smaller for some reason.
Right.
But yeah, there's some cool stuff in there. I love most of the Nomad line of stuff, and especially the Corregidor stuff. I think the Mobile Regatta minis are gorgeous. I'm excited to see what the Diablos end up looking like. I'm really excited for the Gator. Yeah.
Cool. I love it. That's great. So I'm pretty sure I know how the good, the bad, and the ugly is going to go, and I think it's basically just Jazz, Marantz, and a missile bot, and boom, you won the game, right?
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, that's no doubt. That's all you need. And you'll win every game that way. It's the ultimate way to play Infinity, and all your friends enjoy playing the game with you when you do it.
Exactly. All right. So what is the good for you?
I mean, there is a lot of overlap there between the meme and the truth. I think there's a kernel of truth in every meme. I think that's why they exist. But yeah, we'll start with the good. And it is like you're hacking network. The most specifically are a mini and a profile or a set of profiles. The repeater profiles specifically are they just do something that not like no other faction has access to. And when you're looking at why you want to be playing a faction, you got to look at what they do that no one else can do. What are the special things that the designers are giving them, and figure out how you best can weaponize that. And I think Morans are the perfect example of Corregidor and what you're trying to do. They deny a ton of area on the game board, and they make your the other thing, they make hacking scary for every army. If you have a hacker with six sense, especially tooling with six sense, which is like kind of the next step of this, is, you know, these areas now become lethal to your guided missile. It's not just like, oh, hey, I did the thing where I go first and I shot the pitcher and I targeted your lieutenant. It's not that. It's the fact that there's now these two zone of controls that are like lethal movement grounds for your opponent. And they're going to have to deal with that. And that's a really cool first way to throw a wrench in someone's plans, I think.
Cool. So you're saying usually with the Moran, you're not going to go for the camo profile. You're going to go for the repeater profile.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's every faction has a camo forward observer infiltrator. There's nothing special about that. It's cheap for a infiltrating specialist, I guess. But that repeater profile, I started playing Corregidor every list, two of those with the boarding shotgun. I think it was the best way for me to learn. Now I'm experimenting with taking one of the combi rifle and one of the boarding shotguns, just to have that extra flexibility.
Yeah. And are you finding the combi rifle is usually going to be an offensive piece? Is that what you're looking for with the longer range band, or are you
using it? I think it's more theoretical that, like, you know, you get this, you have this repeater in the middle of the board potentially that, you know, now has a combi rifle attached to it that, you know, threatens a huge percentage of the board and can shoot in good range. I find that I have two of the boarding shotgun profiles. I end up just trading them, like using them as template traders. And I feel like I'm trading them away too quickly. So I want to prevent myself from doing that a little more.
Okay.
But cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And that, I think, you know, you talked about it a little bit, but I think the forward deployed repeater is, a really big piece in the current iteration of the game, right? I mean,
yeah.
When you look at armies that are going to be effective at hacking, it is armies that can put repeaters up the field where you want them to be. So anything that's got access to a Peacemaker, anything that's got access to a Moran, or anything that's got access to, especially a forward deployed, not Crazy Koala, Fast Panda.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And I guess I should have started with a caveat that, you know, the meta, even our friendly meta that we play in, we play very, very competitively. And we have an exposure to like a wide group of players. So the game is designed to play as competitively as possible. So that's kind of where I'm approaching all of this analysis from. This isn't like the fluffy way to play Corregidor. This is the way that I find the most competitive to play it.
Cool.
Love it. Which, right. You know, the game, they want you to hack. Like, they want hacking to be good. And I think if you're the hacking faction, you should lean into that.
Yeah, absolutely. But,
moving on the good, I have to mention evaders. They are incredible. That AP Spitfire or the Feuerbach profile have been the two that I've gone around the most with. Shout out those honorable mention to the engineer with the boarding shotgun and the armor piercing mines. Super fun profile. You can get a ton done with him on a ton of different missions. The climbing plus allows you to position all of these pieces really well. It allows you to hide them if you need to. Ending your turn on top of a building that doesn't have an easy access to is a great way to not interact with, you know, a lot of AROs.
Yeah. Do you find that you're taking him solo or linked or both?
I always take him in some kind of link. I really, really like the Feuerbach if I want to build kind of a castle link where I'm going to be a little less mobile, and I want to have a 2-wound heavy infantry with a nice gun and good range bands to shoot at stuff, to, you know, to not let my opponent do anything they want on the board. He's my go-to. He has courage, so, and he's got, you know, he's BS-13. The Feuerbach's got great range bands. And so, you know, you're putting two shots back at someone, usually on a similar-ish number to whatever they're sending your way. You're 3 armor. You're hopefully in cover. And, you know, if you pass both the armor saves, you just courage and you take the fight again. It's hard for them to kill them all the way off the table. Because you're usually, you know, you're getting rid of half their successes, hopefully, at least.
Yeah. Yeah. Such a cool kit. And
yeah. Yeah. They have so many skills. And they just do so much. The multi-rifle Panzerfaust profile is also really great. I can't say enough good things about them. They're like all of the profiles are good.
Right. Even if you don't take an engineer, you're still a specialist.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, all specialist operatives. The only time it hurts is, you know, these are a lot of times that your point guy and your shooter in all your links, and the missions that punish you for losing specialists, it hurts because a lot of the stuff that you need to put your Corregidor list is a specialist. Right. You know, your Moran's always a specialist. Your evaders are always specialists. So you kind of do the cheeky get around by not playing any specialists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair. All right. Yeah. All right. What else?
I also mentioned the close combat units that you have access to. You have McMurder. Going with like the idea that like what's unique to your faction is there for in. You've got McMurder, you've got Sanyer Massacre, and you've got two really great CC profiles that you can take in large numbers. And you've also got Wolfgang, although he's available to all the nomads. All of these profiles are incredible CCs. I'm talking about Jaguars and Diablos. Also Bandits. I mean, Bandits are great in CC. You've got CC, and you've got a lot of different ways to deliver it. You've got access to Eclipse Smoke. You've got access to really cheap smoke, on a regular order Jaguar. You know, for 10 points, you get a chain rifle, smoke grenades, DACCW. On a guy that can fight a lot of stuff. You can kill a tag with one. You know, they've got a lot of stuff that they can do, and they've got that anti-material for Lunik and Sabotage, those kind of missions.
And if you're really worried about a tag, that light shotgun with EM close combat weapon.
The EM for 1 point more. The light shotgun gives you a way to face to face guys. The EM CCW also good if you are facing, you've got kind of the mirror match of CC. Got access to a bunch of guys with Natural Born Warrior. All of the Diablos, so the those are there for a reason, I think. And I think that I've started to lean a lot more CC over the last couple months, and I've really enjoyed it.
And Sanyer Massacre is if you're ranking models at CC, I would say Ajax, Sanyer Massacre, and Uberfall Commando are probably the top of the list.
And especially in those kind of, when you're fighting other CC guys, having that Natural Born Warrior on top of being the CC specialist is really cool.
Awesome.
Have
you run a pure Jaguar link? I guess Massacre still counts as a Jaguar, so you could do four Jaguars and Massacre and get all the composition bonuses and throw smoke on 19s and all kinds of silly stuff like that.
I haven't done that yet. It's also cool because, you know, that there's also the adhesive launcher Panzerfaust. So, you know, you can build and they're BS-11 line troops. So, you know, you can build a pretty scary link team with some nice arrows there. But no, I haven't the pure DAG link. It's something I do need to probably test out at some point.
It's silly. And I mean, last time I looked at it, it was,
it's really silly. Yeah. In three, it maybe made more sense because you had more orders to then go do the mission. But like, you know, that link doesn't do any of the missions other than fight stuff.
Right.
You can't push any buttons with those guys. It's their one downfall. I do think that he is a really cool character. Having regeneration's nice. It never works for me, but I see regeneration work for all of my friends. So soon my time will come.
Cool. All right. What else is good?
You know, I think there's the one other like truly unique thing that, or not completely unique, but we got to talk about Carlotta. Carlotta is a piece, having, you know, she's a Tomcat special character. She's got a super unique set of gear, and her skills are really useful for making her a really scary attack piece. She's got the skill Parachutist Deployment Zone. So, you know, she's walking in on the back line. And that is one of those skills that's very, very rarely handed out in Infinity. And so the fact that you have access to it is something that you should be leveraging every chance you get.
Right.
She's an engineer,
so she's a specialist.
Mm-hmm.
She's got climbing plus, so she's super mobile. She's got a light flamethrower in case you need a template. And did she used to have a regular combi rifle and breaker combi as the N4 update, or did she always have a breaker combi?
You know, I don't know. I never ran her in N4.
Okay.
Hmm. That's
a brutal profile.
Yeah, she's got that breaker combi. She's got the adhesive launcher plus one burst as well. BS13. Which for something that is going to be backshotting a lot of things, like, that's really great. She's something that you should, if you are a Corregidor player, you should play her so often that people expect you to play her all the time, and then you can stop playing her. I would say play her in your local meta 25 games in a row. And then after that, you can take a different profile that you hide off the board. But having someone have to play around the fact that you might walk on something on their back line, making them spend all of that that energy and thought, like, power on where she's going to show up and preventing her from doing that, will wear your opponent down in a tournament setting. And you will either find a lane for her to do a lot of damage, or you'll find another mistake that your opponent makes that you can then take advantage of.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's the rule that she has is such a cool on the same scale of something like Impersonator, that it's just so powerful that if you're not using it, you're doing yourself a disservice.
Yeah. And Moriarty, her pal bot, or Zoncat, mm-hmm. who jumps on with her.
Yeah.
He can jump on in a different part of the table, correct?
Exactly. So, you know, if your TR bot goes down or your Vostok goes down, you can have him come over on the table edge close to that, and then simultaneously have her moving around and taking back shots at your opponent's back line, killing cheerleaders, taking out their missile bot, you know, all the fun stuff that you get to, that you want to be doing, and you're getting other value out of her on a different part of the table.
That's brutal.
Yeah. No, she's like, that is it. She's in every lister for me, unless there's a really good reason to not bring her. Right. Missions like Firefight, where all of your parachutists can walk on the back line, stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay. And then you did also mention Jazz. Anything else you want to add about her, or is she?
I mean, like, you know, it's hard talking about Jazz because you just hear so many bad things about her, and the truth is that, yeah, I mean, she probably is. She's too high value of a piece to ever not include in your list mm-hmm. for the cost of her. You're preventing yourself from having access to a bunch of tools that she has between that with her hacking device plus her upgraded Trinity, her access to a really cheap order, or going in a fire team. There's no good way to justify not taking her. And that's, I don't know if that's a bad thing or a good thing from a design standpoint, but from my viewpoint, like, I love Jazz. I will run her all the time. I will take her in every single list.
She's a wild card.
Yeah, she's a wild card. Hacking device plus. She's also got Trinity that does plus one damage. Whip 14 in a faction of dummies.
And BTS 6, which is huge.
Yeah. Yeah. She's not going to lose a lot of hacking duels. And when she does, she's hopefully going to survive, you know, one or two failures.
Right. Is she the only source of white noise in Corregidor?
Yeah, and the only source of eclipse is Senior Massacre. So you're seeing that, like, they're only giving you these things in small amounts.
Right.
You should use them because there's no other reason for them to be there. You know, like, they're just so good.
Cool. I love it. And I'm sure, you know, obviously, there are lots of other good units and good things about Corregidor, but we got to put some things in the bad and the ugly. So what you got there?
So for the bad, I guess I'll start with why I got into, you know, Corregidor in the beginning, which is the intruders. It's not really to say that intruders are bad. There's nothing really wrong with intruders. It's just they've kind of missed out on the power creep curve. And with Corregidor and how you're gonna be spending your SWC, it's just really hard to find. It's like you're in a sectoral, so you're kind of already running a link, so you need to justify the link being there. So you've got to put your SWC into it, and now you're starving other parts of your list. Where I love the intruder, I think the intruder is really great, but I think the intruder functions better in vanilla than it does in Corregidor.
Yeah, that makes sense because both of the sniper and the HMG are 1.5.
Yeah, and there are a lot of points. They're over 40 points. All of your good stuff is in the high 20s to start. Other than like your extra budget pieces that are, you know, your every listers.
Right. Yeah, 40 points for a one wound model with no dogged or NWI or anything. That's an investment.
Yeah, and that's the problem that he has is, you know, he's one lost face-to-face role from being gone. And that's like, you know, you want him, you've spent all these points and all this SWC on this piece. You want him to do the one thing that he can do. And you're just one unlucky die roll away. But you know, I mean, he'll definitely still get played and you'll definitely still find a place for him. If you want to play intruder all the time, probably play vanilla.
Yeah. And he does neg 12 enemy models better than almost anything else in the game.
Yeah. No, I mean, the last time I ran one, I came across a list with two TR bots. He does negative 12 both of them, you know, and that was it. Then I just walked all over the table.
Yeah, that's great. All right, what else is bad for you in Corregidor?
I think that I've labeled the tag trap, which is you've got a ton of tags in Corregidor. They just, you know, they keep adding tags, and they're like, they're Corregidor tags, so here you go. I love all of the tags in Corregidor, but I don't think that they play well in Corregidor. I think it's the same idea as the intruder. It's all of those points and all of that SWC should be going to the things that are unique to your faction. And they just kind of, they end up eating up too much of that list space, in my experience. But I love the geckos. I love that they gave them Harris. Because you can do some really cool stuff with that Harris. You can throw a couple wild cards in there and, you know, you just have this kind of mobile team of just really tough stuff kind of rolling around the table. I haven't got to put it on the table yet though, so I can't speak to how good it is yet. It does seem really fun though. And I love geckos. I've run duos of them. I've run four of them in a list. And they're just super fun. They're really great. But they're not they're, you know, there's really big heavy infantry. They're not right. Like, they don't have the same power as a tag. Iguana, I'll speak about here, but is part of the ugly as well. You know, it just falls into that trap of being like, it's here and it's cool, but what does it really fit in? Yeah. And then the Gator is really great. But again, if you're going to have a bunch of points sunk into something, spend orders on Gregador, you're going to have some way to have a hacker with Sixth Sense so that your Morans are really good. So you've already got a core link. Where are you finding the points in the room in your list for the Gator? And again, it's not to say that it can't be done. I just think there's not enough space really in my experience.
Yeah. And yeah. When you're talking about SWC, I think it is worth just reminding that the Moran is 0.5 SWC.
Right. Right.
And so that's already, I mean, chances are there's going to be two, so that's already an SWC. You've got Jazz, so that's another half, so you're at 1.5. You put one big gun in your core link, and half your SWC.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you put another hacker in your list so that those Warrens have Sixth Sense, and then you put a Smart Missile Bot in there, and, you know, now you've got, like, you've got
five.
No SWC left, really, yeah.
Right.
So, you know, it's definitely doable, and I love the Gator. I think the Gator is awesome. I don't care what people say. Like, I run the Gator all the time.
Are people saying it's not good?
No. I mean, no, it's too good. Okay. And like,
gotcha.
You know, I don't know if it's too good, but it is really good, and it's a super fun piece to put on the table and play. Yeah. I proxy my Salamandra as it, but I'm getting a model very soon, and I'm looking forward to putting it on the table a bunch of times because it's so ridiculous. Like,
yeah,
it's just got so many extra things. Yeah, you'd just be crazy not to love that thing if it was in your list.
Yeah, I mean, it's got all of the counters to the usual tag destroyers, right? The Natural Born Warrior with the high CC, the ECM hacking, these are the ways that you're usually going to approach a tag, and it's fairly resistant to them.
It is fairly resistant, although I think that, like, people are... they're emotionally not engaging with the actual numbers of it. Like,
right.
Yeah, it is cool that it has Natural Born Warrior, but if you're making a CC roll with your tag, like, that's, you don't want to be doing that, you know? Like, right. It doesn't matter if the odds are kind of good. If they've brought a CC expert with an EM CCW up to you, it's rolling on a 23 or a 24, you're still scared of that.
Oh yeah.
You know, so it is cool though. Like, if you do win, then you turn them off, which is really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
But yeah, no, it's too cool of a profile to not run.
Right. Okay. Anything else stand out as bad?
I mean, all the other bad things are really bad, so I think we'll toss them into the ugly section.
Okay. Camo game first, or?
Oh, camo game. Yeah. I guess, you don't have a great camo game. It's not to say that you don't have camo tokens. But it's going to become apparent what they are, as soon as you kind of put your hoarders up. The is a really cool new profile. It is expensive, but having a 2-wound, camo infiltrator, it can be a specialist operative, a hacker, killer hacker, have access to a bunch of different guns. Really cool profile, but your opponent's going to know what it is as soon as they see how many Morians you have on the table and whether or not you have an irregular order for your bandit or a regular order for that gamo token. So it's you're not going to ever kind of trick your opponent about what stuff is. You know, when you deploy that bandit, you make a booty roll. So even if you're going second and your opponent doesn't know if you have irregular orders or not, they're still going to know that that's a bandit because you have to do that at deployment. There's no kind of, there's no sneaky way to go about it. It's a roll made at the beginning. But yeah, I mean, all of your camo profiles are good. I mean, maybe with the exception of the Moran, I don't want to say that is good. Cause I've never run it. But they're obvious and, you're not going to be tricking people with the camo game. They're going to know what it is.
Right. Right. And it's not like tricking someone to think you've got a Sombra when it's really a Moran is going to, I mean, it's not going to change much.
Yeah. Anyway. The right. only time I've gotten really cheeky with it, right, is I ran one of the Morans as the camo token, but I put it back in my deployment and I didn't deploy the Crazy Koala. And I kind of tricked my opponent into thinking it was an intruder. I like threw smoke on it one time. Yeah. And my opponent was like, oh, that's an intruder, obviously. And it was just a guy with combi rifle. But it didn't really do anything. It was just kind of like, oh, I thought that was going to kill me and it didn't. So.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so the intruders don't have forward deployment, so it's not like, I mean, you've got these very specific bands where your camo tokens are typically going to go, so they'll stand out.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, fair. That's all fair. The ugly.
Yeah, the ugly, we won't beat around the bush. Wildcats, they took a unit that was bad and they made it worse somehow. Wildcats are really cool. Like, I love the idea of them. I love them from the fluff. They gave every Wildcat MSV1. They gave them all number 2. And they took away a couple of their profiles. Namely, like, they have boarding shotgun with stun grenades in M3 that was just like the coolest profile. It was 19 points for a 13 guy with 2 armor. And that it's gone now. So it's, and that was a different time, but they were cool, like budget gunfighters just by virtue of being good at shooting. And now they're expensive, fragile, okay gunfighters. There are a couple profiles that are really cool. I like the hackers. They all have combis and light flamethrowers. So the hacker does the thing where, you know, through smoke he can threaten a hackable target with every possible thing. He can drop a template if they do something, he can hack, he can shoot them. So he's got there's some cool stuff there. They also have an engineer profile that, you know, it's not bad, but it's a 1-wound engineer with 2 armor for 20 some odd points.
Yeah. 28.
28. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, so for 28 points, you can get a 2-wound, I mean, plus guy that's also BS-13, you know, in the evader. So, you know, there's a pretty big trade-off there. I can't get them to work. That's why I put them here.
That's fair.
I think the heavy rocket launcher is, he's a fine guy to shove into one of your links if you're really concerned about having that. Like, he's an okay kind of budget ARO piece for your link, if that's what you want.
I mean, 23 points for a BS-13 heavy rocket launcher and an assault pistol. That's
not bad. MSV1, it's And it's just, it's that two armor, and it's like, you know, he's he's just one failure away from, he's got no mimetism. Right. You know, the faction doesn't have a ton of mimetism on its non-marker profiles. So you run into
it. It does strike me that the engineer, is that the only wildcard engineer?
It is. So that's a big change, because Evader's used to wild card.
Right. So that Gecko Harris, bringing that Wildcat engineer, or probably more likely a hacker, seems like a really solid support for a tag that you're moving up the table.
Yeah. Although, yeah, I mean, it is a solid choice. If I were going to do the Gecko Harris, I would probably take Valeria and Sanyard Massacre and just shove both of those wild cards in there.
Fair.
But, yeah, I mean, the Wildcat's a good option. There is the one profile with NCO. It is the Spitfire profile. But again, it's just, it's a regular Spitfire on a guy that is not, he's okay at winning fights, but he's not the best at winning fights.
Yeah, and when the AP Spitfire is cheaper.
It's cheaper to have an AP Spitfire on a 2-wound guy with climbing than it is to put it on a 1-wound guy with MSV1.
That's a rough price point.
So they just kind of suffer from that. Most of the minis are really cool. So, you know, if for a while I was using the Wildcat with like his shoulder down as my digger, because he is kind of a beefy looking, kind of brawlerly looking dude. He's a cool guy.
I like the models a lot. They're older. I mean, they have a new one, but the old ones I like a lot. I do think the BTS-6 is, you know, a nice thing to have for those hackers, if that's a route you want to take, but they still are expensive.
Yeah. And the BTS-6 is cool for, you know, if you play against Toha a lot. You'll notice that occasionally in Nomads, you just get BTS on your guys. And that's kind of nice. It's usually not too expensive. Yeah.
Right. I mean, they got to have those environmental suits because they're working on ships in space. And
exactly.
You know, yeah, makes sense. Cool. What else fits into the ugly for you?
I mean, the iguana.
Yeah.
It's such a cool concept, but just mechanically, it just doesn't shake out on the table. You know, it's a regular HMG. It's only got 2 wounds, you know, the when the guy jumps out, he's only BS-12 and he's got no mimetism. Like he's still technically an HI guy with an HMG, but you would never spend points to put this guy to spend order. Like you would never voluntarily spend orders on this guy. If he was in your list anywhere else, he's just not good enough at fighting to kind of justify how he works. The iguana itself being a repeater is really cool.
But also you're looking at an army that's you've got Morans and there's like a couple pitchers and some like incidental profiles that just have deployable repeaters, it looks like.
It's like if I want to move a repeater around the board, there's way easier ways for me to do it. That are way more tuned to doing that in an order efficient manner, that like it's not a big enough kind of you don't get enough value out of it. I love the mini. I think the mini's super cool. I love the pilot mini. I think the pilot mini is super cool. The profile just doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, that's fair. Cool. No disagreement there.
The other ugly aspects of Corregidor are
more conceptual. We'll start with the lieutenants. All of the lieutenant options you have are super obvious. They're all whip 13, but your opponent's going to know what it is based on what your list is. The Aguaseal is one SWC, so you're usually not running the Aguaseal as your lieutenant. So that really leaves you with the Wildcat, which is a 24 wing lieutenant that, you know, has two armor and no way to hide. Or you've got Regatta, and there's two mobile Regatta profiles, the boarding shotgun and the multi-rifle light flamethrower. So, I mean, for me, I love taking that mobile Regatta. That's my go-to. The boarding shotgun is in 90% of my list. He's the toughest guy. He's got two wounds, and you're just going to get good at playing in Lost Lieutenant. Because that's, you know, you're going to end up in Lost Lieutenant. You should plan for that. Plan ahead. And that leads really well into their next weakness, which is you have no access to chain of command whatsoever in the whole faction. Which is frustrating because there are a couple missions where the bonus goes to chain of command. Which is, you know, it's just annoying that, like, even Ariadna gets hackers now, but we don't get chain of command. You know, nomads are a bunch of individuals. They don't have a clear chain of command, so that's why they don't get that skill, so that's fine. And then
so there's the intruder used to have a lieutenant profile with a combi rifle light flamethrower, and that is a really sad loss to me. Like, that
huge loss. Getting to have you're a lieutenant in marker state, like, when you don't have access to that, you realize how incredible it is to just be like, even when on the missions where you know that that's their lieutenant, it's like, yeah, it's still got extra layer of defense. So,
right. Yeah, that was, I play a lot of Aelif, and we used to have a Dasu profile with the lieutenant, and, you know, you wouldn't hidden deploy it, obviously, because then you're in Lost Lieutenant. And I think it was like two SWC, but on those missions where somebody needed to assassinate your lieutenant, having a -6 marker that's NWI buried in your deployment zone on top of a building, like that's hard to kill.
Yeah, that gives you a lot of time to creatively force your opponent to spend orders that don't do anything, right? Like, that doesn't get your lieutenant killed. That's really cool. You don't have access to that. You're never, any canny opponent is gonna point your lieutenant unless you're running the shell Aguaseal lieutenant. Which, if you've got one SWC in your list and you can make that work, then go for it. But it's a definite weakness to be aware of. And I think their main kind of hole in Corregidor is the doctor paramedic scene that you have. The only real paramedic is the Aguaseal or the Hellcat. That's it. Those are the two. One of them starts off the board. And the only doctors that you have available to is the Doctari and the Tomcat. The Tomcat can have a little helper guy jump down with him, which is cool. You know, you don't have a doctor that you can put in your link or a paramedic really that you want to be pushing around the board.
Doctari is a wild card though, yeah?
He is a wild card, but, you know, he's a one wound, right, one armor guy that's not good at fighting. You know, he's got no mimetism, he's got nothing, no armor, maybe he's got one, I don't know. You know, he's very, very close to, like, any template will just take him right off the board. And so on a mission where, you know, you need your keyword doctor paramedic guy to hit three buttons or potentially have to run into your opponent's DZ to, you know, to figure out if your HVT's in there in cryo. You know, you don't have a lot of great choices for that. The Tomcat's good, but, you know, you can end up with him not having a spot to deploy. The Hellcat is a lot of points and an order off that you don't get to spend, you know, until you're using it. So that's a little tough. He is pretty good at jumping on, especially if you got that EVO hacker into your list.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, and there are other Hellcat profiles that you may want to reach for first. I guess if you're just going for a bare bones specialist, though.
If you had the points, I mean, it's fairly cheap. It's got a couple points of armor. It's got a combi rifle. You know, it can show up in some weird spots and fight and do stuff. But it's not. You know, they're definitely not the sexiest profile.
Yeah.
Super dope minis, though. Hellcat mini that I've ever seen, and every one that I have is just like the coolest miniature.
Yeah, I like their jump pack a lot too. It's a very cool kind of, circular jetpack thing. It's neat.
Yeah. Oh, I love that the Nomads just keep finding these tactical rocks to land on in space.
Yeah. Yeah. Gosh, the tactical rocks, man. It's I have like a sci-fi sort of in ship interior basing scheme, and I have spent so much time chopping off and filing down boots and feet to stick tactical, you know, gear under them. But yeah, it's a thing.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right, cool. I think that's a great rundown. And you know, obviously that's not every profile, but it's a good.
I mean, you don't want to hear me list like go through every single profile.
Yeah, I do think it's fascinating. I'm realizing that Corregidor still has diggers, which, with the addition of Diablos, which are basically diggers, but slightly better, I think. I am really surprised to see the diggers still in the army list.
So yeah, there's definitely a lot of overlap between diggers and Diablos. Diggers did used to have wild card and they don't anymore. I think that we might see diggers removed from a few more armies. That's just, you know, pure conjecture, but, I think that they're kind of signaling that they want to push whatever the new, you know, they want to go buy a Boshi now. So, and another CSU, but,
right.
You know, I think we'll see them kind of disappear, and you can't link it anymore. So the digger's not quite as cool. Diablos are great. Little different, more CC oriented, I think. But getting a bunch of weird profiles too that are kind of cool, and doing +1 damage with all their BS attacks is really cool. But you don't get the big swingy upside of the booty roll that occasionally just gets you MIM-6 or an HMG for free.
Right. And they are, oh, that's interesting, their structure.
Yeah, their structure, which is just like another weird thing for us to figure out how to take advantage of.
Right. Cool. All right.
I think they're specifically meant to fight Toha, because Toha can't, shoot them through the wall.
Right. Yeah, the Feralware has definitely messed me up a number of times. I am really excited to get Eudoros on the table against a Toha player, because he has structure now, and that's going to be fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, no doubt. That'll be really fun.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. And those are the big items. But you've got a list for us. And do you want to tell us a little bit about, I guess let's go through what's in it and then tell us about what you've got here and why you're putting stuff where it is.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think this is, I think this list is kind of like a really great introduction to Corregidor. I think it's, if you want to learn to play this faction, this is kind of like, I just look at this list. You don't have to play it, but look at it. And I think this is showing you kind of what, the faction's trying to do. And it's, yeah, like I said, it's not tuned towards any mission or anything. This is just a collection of Corregidor units that function well together and can do a lot of the missions. Mm-hmm. You got a wide range here. Yeah. I'll just run through it. I'll actually start with group two, because it's a smaller group. Yeah. You got Carlotta. You just have her in every list, like I was saying. Wait until turn or round three as often as possible to bring her on the table. It forces your opponent to play around her longer, and that is more efficient than actually playing her a lot of the times. So unless you see a big like, here's my spot to bring Carlotta on and kill five guys, hold her back. You'll see that your opponent playing around her is more efficient than you bringing her on. Carlotta's great. Two Morans to do what they do. The missile bot to turn that your whole hacking network into a doom spell. They're gonna die when if they end up in the targeted state. That's what you're trying to do with your Morans and your Sixth Sense hacker. And then the last piece of group two is McMurder. You should play him as often as you can fit him into your list, because he's a badass. Like, he's the ultimate missile. You can send him to go kill stuff across the table with just a couple orders, and he'll get it done. He'll force your opponent to play around him. He'll be a massive roadblock. He's so great. You should use him and enjoy it, because he's a super fun piece to play with.
Yeah. So just to recap, Carlotta, two Moran boarding shotguns, the Vertigo missile bot, and McMurro is your group two.
Yeah.
Solid.
So group one it's a little weird, but I hope it makes sense. You've got an Aguaseal lieutenant. So I'm already breaking my rules, but spending. You see, we're doing it. And then you've got another Aguaseal with a combi rifle to play the shell game of, guess my lieutenant in a lot of missions. Yeah. But then you're gonna start building a core link with a mobile brigada hacker with that 10-bot -6, because this turns this gives you your Sixth Sense hacker, and it makes your hacking just impossible for your opponent to defeat, which is what you want to do in the hacking faction. You just want to be good at what you're good at. And so then following that up, you're putting Jazz also in the link. This gives you twice the hacking. It makes Jazz as invulnerable as you can make something in Infinity. Like, she's as good as she's ever going to get at hacking in that link.
That 10-bot -6 is huge.
And then, you know, she's got pictures as well. You should make a point to get those pictures on the table as soon as possible, because it makes your hacking network that much more durable. And that's what you're doing. You're the hacking faction. You're turning off all of their HI, all their tags. You're targeting stuff and shooting it with your missile as much as you can. So in this list, I've got the Evader Fuerbach. He's your Overwatch piece. He's looking down a lane or two. you know, he's gunfighting and costing them an order or two, and then, you know, he takes a wound and you drop him from. But if you can slow their advance down to where they can't really accomplish what they were trying to do, then job well done. And he's also going to do blast stuff that gets left out for him to shoot. He's still going to, he's really effective in the active turn. So yeah, you're going to like him. You've also got the Aguaseal paramedic. The paramedic's there to shoot medkits at people. The number of times where I've not had the paramedic and just kicked myself the whole way, the whole drive home after the game of, you got to have that paramedic. You should just have something to pick your guys up if you can. And then also Senior Massacre. So, Massacre is a wild card. He's probably more likely going to point man your CC Harris, which is the next kind of half of this list. So you've got Massacre, you've got a regular Jaguar with chain rifle and smoke grenades, and then you've got the Diablos with the light shotgun plus one damage, and then the Diablos with the SMG plus one damage. And they've both got trench hammers. They're, you know, your two wound. They're kind of pseudo diggers that they brawl really well. They're really great. They're really great roadblocks. That light shotgun is a damage 14 template. You know, in the Harris 3. Yeah, they're really cool. You know, that SMG in the Harris is a close range Spitfire, you know, like it's damage 14 and it's burst 4. Like you're getting stuff done with these guys. And the whole time you want to be moving towards your opponent. But yeah. I think this is just a great, like, kind of here's kind of a really good starting point for Corregidor.
Cool. So I want to just sort of quickly go through the first group one more time, and then I have a couple questions about it. So there's that core link. You've got six options of bodies to put in it. The two alguaciles, one is a lieutenant, the other is, you know, hiding your lieutenant. There's an alguacil paramedic, mobile brigada hacker with the tin bot, Jazz, and an evader Feuerbach. Then the other end of that group is Senior Massacre with the boarding shotgun, Jaguar chain rifle, Diablo light shotgun, Diablo SMG.
Yeah. Yeah, and so you know, you've got a spare tire for your CC link, or if you need the core to run out into the middle of the table for whatever mission you're on, you can also put Senior Massacre into the link. And you know, then you can leave both your Aguaseals back. You can take all of your special dudes and run around the board and push buttons and whatnot. Or you can just have your Morans push buttons because they're probably already in position to do it because they have infiltration. But yeah, and then, you know, I think with Corregidor, you really want to be focusing the deployed part of your army on one very narrow part of the board, because that will expose your opponent to focusing on that. And then you're going to bring on Carlotta to... she's like a rogue, you know, she's gonna backstab him. She's not gonna show up with a bomb, but she is gonna stab people in the back, and it's really nice.
So when I've run Massacre, and I know not everybody agrees with me, right? I've definitely seen players go with the boarding shotgun. In my mind, the breaker combi is the option for him. It's 2 points more, but the extra range and hitting BTS and the armor piercing, having him as a potential shooter is something I really like. And is that not the way you use him, or you like having the template, or just didn't have points?
I like to focus on leveraging his CC, so I tend to not shoot with him as often as possible. You know, I think in my experience, like the Breaker combi is not the best like point gun. Even with that AP, things tend to have more, they tend to have more BTS than armor. Like there are exceptions, but I think as a general rule, more profiles have armor than BTS.
Yeah.
And so that even though you're having their BTS, a lot of times you're having a 6 to a 3 when they have right. one armor, or, you know, you're still kind of worse off. Whereas with the boarding shotgun, if I have to, I can split. That's something I'm always kind of aware of, is that sometimes you just have to trade your pieces to get the mission done. I mean, I think you definitely can run them as the Breaker combi. It's just not my go-to. If I'm gonna shoot with something, you know, I'm gonna shoot with a multi-rifle or the AP Spitfire, or, you know, something that's got a little more power behind it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. The other thing I see here is there are a lot of profiles that seem like they'd be very easy to swap out for something else.
Exactly.
You've got 4 bodies for that close combat Harris, so it seems like a real quick and easy trade to swap the submachine gun Diablo for the forward observer sensor bot.
Exactly. Yeah, you've got a lot of... I had written this list before the sensor bots got their Takawara order. So I should have updated that. But yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. You've got a lot of options that you can swap these out with. You've got a lot of different ways you can take this list. I don't think you necessarily need the Bomba Regatta Timbot 6. Because I think you're so good at hacking anyways, that if you're insulating yourself well enough, you're not going to need that. So there's a lot of ways to open, to change this list around. I think it's a really great starting spot though.
Right.
And it's a list I've had fun with. So yeah. Cool.
And the Evader has a Tinbot -3. Yeah. So if you wanted to swap the Mobile Regatta to a cheaper hacker, an Evader hacker, a Wildcat hacker, and then get, you know, bump some points into something else, that would also...
Yeah, yeah. You can definitely shuffle stuff around. Kragador's got a lot of cool lists that it can make. You know, you owe it to yourself to run the EV Go and a couple Hellcats and jump your Hellcat down on 18s. Like there's a lot of cool stuff in the faction. I hope I see more people play it, because I feel like Corregidor is like gets so much stuff and gets talked about so much, but I've literally like played against like 1 or 2 other Corregidor players. So it's a great faction. I love it.
Cool. That's awesome. All right. Any last thoughts or shout outs or things you want to put out into the world?
No, I mean, just, I hope people, kind of enjoy this game as much as I do. You know, I've met some actual, like, I've made real friends through this, the community around it. So I think it's really cool. And, you know, if you're good for you, like, take advantage of the fact that this community does exist and have fun.
Cool. That's great. Well, thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it, Gabe. This has been a pleasure. Deep diving into Corregidor.
Yeah, it's fun.
Thanks for being here, listeners. Thanks for sticking with us, and have some good games and roll lots of crits, and that's a wrap.